Hello, brothers and sisters. Today we are going to speak about this wonderful person, the Holy Spirit, the gift of the Father to us. And what a gift of the Father he is. Do you know, brothers and sisters, you have an invisible partner who loves you, someone whom you can talk to, someone whom you can depend on, someone who wakes up with you every morning and goes to sleep with you every night, someone who will lead you and who will guide your life. And yes, he is the Holy Spirit, the Paraclete. Paraclete in Greek can be split into two words, para kaleo. Para means beside, kaleo means to call to be besides you, someone who walks alongside of you. And today it's my heart's desire that as we listen to the word, you develop such a hunger for him, you develop such a thirst for him, and you enter into a personal relationship with him. Because that's what Christianity is all about. Entering into a relationship with the Holy Spirit, where you learn how to talk to him in the morning, you learn how to talk to him in your mind, you learn how to talk to him as you go to work, when you learn how to spend time with him. And one day you will recognize his voice speaking to you, guiding you, directing you, and warning you. And so let's bow our heads as we pray. Oh, Holy Spirit, what a joy to talk about you. What a gift of the Father you are to us. Please, Holy Spirit, come today. We need you. Because if you don't show up, Holy Spirit, this servant of yours will not be able to speak. And your children will not absorb what I am saying. Come. Enlighten the hearts of your people and kindle in them the fire of your love, Holy Spirit, that they begin to walk in love with God. Amen. Amen. Jesus, he was talking to his disciples. This was his last discourse to his disciples before he could enter into his passion. And he's telling them in John 13:37, little children, I'm going to be with you only a little while longer. And they were like shocked. I mean, they walked with him for 3 years. They looked to him for everything. They depended on him for everything. And now he's talking about going to heaven. I mean, Jesus, you are going to heaven, but we are still here on earth. If you leave now, how are you going to make it, Jesus? And most of us are like the disciples today. We wonder and wish if Jesus was with us physically. And I, for that matter, if I was there with Jesus, I would say, you're going and you're going to depend on these disciples to carry on your work, Jesus. They denied you. They betrayed you. And they all abandoned you. And you're going to have faith in them? Jesus was not going to have faith in them, but he was going to have faith in the encounter that they were going to have with the Holy Spirit on Pentecost Day. And that's why he says in John 14:16, I will ask the Father and he will give you another advocate to be with you forever. Another advocate can be generally translated as another counselor, another comforter, another teacher, another helper, another intercessor. Now today we're going to deal with some little Greek words, okay? I don't know Greek, but I love to dig into it to find out the real depth of what Jesus was trying to say. And so another in Greek could mean two words, elas and heteros. Now elas means another of the same kind. Like suppose I give you an apple to eat and after you've done, I've given you another apple to eat. So I've given you another of the same kind. But if you finish eating the apple and I give you a pomegranate, then I'm giving you another of another kind. When Jesus is saying, I'm going to give you another advocate, he was saying, I'm going to give you Elas. He said, I'm not going to give you heteros, but Elas. He said, I'm not going to give you a cheap substitute. I'm going to give you someone who has the same essence, the same character as me. It's not like we lost Jesus, because the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of Jesus. You know, Jesus came as God, and he also came as man. He was 100% God. There's no doubt he was 100% man. He was in a body just like you and me. And being in a body, he could just be at one place at one time, dealing with one person at a time. But the Holy Spirit can be everywhere, all the time, working in every person's life. And what's he doing working in our lives? He's confirming us, bringing us into the image of Christ. Many of us are trying to be like Jesus. We are trying to be holy, but you cannot do it without the Holy Spirit. It's like you're trying to be God without God, God the Holy Spirit. But as you begin to experience a nearness, a closeness to him, you will begin to experience a nearness and a closeness to God, because he will show you what the heart of God is. He will show you the truth, because he knows the depth of God's heart. Because it says in 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9 to 11, what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard, God has prepared for those who love him. And how will that eye see, and how will that ear hear the supernatural? It's the Holy Spirit who will lead you into the supernatural. And that's why it's so important to be intimate with him. I was once talking to the Holy Spirit. You know, I had a little problem with God the Father. I would read the Old Testament. I'd say, God, you're so strict. So many wars, so many punishments, God. You know, and yet Jesus would come and say, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. I said, Jesus, you're so cute, but your Father, I'm frightened of him. And then I said, let me go to the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit, Jesus says, you will reveal the truth. I want to know the truth about the Father. Reveal the heart of the Father. And one day he said, I want you to set apart 4 days for me, and I'm going to reveal you things what no eye has seen, what no ear has heard. And in those 4 days, he revealed so much. There's no time, but maybe I'll just give you a little of what the things he revealed. I remember going to this place, calling the Father. Father, I want a room for a self-retreat. And he gave me the room. And the moment I put the phone down, he left. I felt so limp. I said, why did you leave? What did I do wrong? And he said, who asked you to book the venue? I would have given you it myself. Depend on me. Immediately I phoned and I called up the Father and I said, please cancel the venue. And the Holy Spirit revealed a beautiful place where I could go. And the first thing that happened was I was knocked down by some fire from heaven. It was so consuming. I'll never forget that, rolling on the floor saying, Holy Spirit, stop it. It was a fiery kind of love. I enjoyed it, yet I felt I was going to die. And I said, Holy Spirit, what is it? And he said, I'm giving you a taste of the Father's love. I said, this is the taste. And can you imagine what all of the Father's love is all about? And friends, from that day on, Father became Abba. I fell in love with the Father. And he said, I want to show you more about the Father's love. This was at another time when he asked me to go to a church. It was out of Bombay. I rushed to the church. I always obey him, his promptings. I rushed to the church. And when I was in prayer there, suddenly everything became sound and quiet, silent and quiet. And I could hear a mighty roaring thunder voice saying, I'm the Alpha and the Omega. And as I drew closer and closer, I saw a big heart. Not like the heart of Jesus, but this was huge. And as I looked at the heart, embedded in that heart were precious stones, different gems. I knew it was the Father's heart instantly. And I began saying, Father, what is it? He pointed out the gems and he said, these are my children whom I love so much. I said, these are your children, but your children don't know, Father, that you love them. And he said, go tell them, go tell them. And I began crying and crying. And I want to tell you, my beloved, it was the Holy Spirit who revealed this to me. And so clear, the scripture verse of Zechariah 2 verse 8 says, you are the apple of the Father's eye. How wonderful. I am the apple. You are the apple of the Father's eye. And if you are intimate with the Holy Spirit, he will begin revealing many, many more things to come. And many, many more things which we can never see with our natural eyes. And so that's why Jesus says, he is your teacher. He will remind you. He will teach you. I don't know about you, but I want to be taught by him. How hard it is to forgive people who have hurt you. He will teach you how to forgive the unforgivable. How hard it is to love the people who hurt you. But he will teach you how to love the unlovable. Every Christian needs a teacher. And in this pandemic, how much we need him to stand along, to stand beside you, to teach you how to experience peace that passes all understanding. In this pandemic, he will teach you how to be content. He will teach you how to praise God, even the virus is raging around. He will teach you, friends. He will teach you how to be a good husband, how to be a good wife, how to be a good parent. He will teach you how to walk and talk in the love of God. Yes, he's your teacher. He's your helper. Oh, I love that. Helper. He will help you. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know how to pray as we ought. That very Spirit intercedes with sighs too deep for words. I like that. I needed the help of the Holy Spirit, but I was trying to use my own knowledge, my own strength. Now, how do I get that power? What do I do? Maybe I'll try to be perfect. I'll get that power. Or maybe I'll learn all my scripture verses by heart so that I can twist God's arm to give me that power. Till one day my eyes fell on this verse. He helps us in our weakness. So beautiful. So your weakness qualifies you to receive his help. No, it's not your knowledge. It's not your religiosity. It is your weakness that qualifies you to receive the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, you may say help is like in English, just a four-letter word, H-E-L-P. Okay, he helps me here. But if you know the Greek translation, wow, the picture is so big, you know. Help. Help. And it's like as though the Holy Spirit went on a word search. And he couldn't find just one Greek word to explain his help. He found three words compounded together. Three Greek words. Now you may think it's a big word. It's not a big word. It's just sun, anti, lambano. Now, sun means partnership. Anti means to be against, to be upset. And lambano means to grab hold, to siege, you see? So friends, when you are in a mess, okay, you say a financial mess or a sickness, whatever ditch you are in, you are at rock bottom, what do we do normally? We call up friends, we run to the Facebook, Twitter, Insta, we run to the counselor, we do all of this. But if only you would go to him and say, help me, Holy Spirit, you know what he's going to do? He's going to fall in the ditch with you. And the first thing is soon, partnership. He's going to partner with you. Because he will not do anything independent of you. He will partner with you. You two are one now. In that mess, in that ditch, you have him with you. You see the Acts of the Apostles, the disciples would always partner with them. The Holy Spirit and we went here. The Holy Spirit said no. The Holy Spirit said yes. We did this together. Because, you know, in business, you see partners do things together. So he will just partner with you. And he will see that you are tired. that you are so, so exhausted with this problem, that he will begin to share emotions. He will begin to impart fire. He will begin to comfort you. That is what he will do soon, partner. He will fall in the ditch with you. I have a scripture verse to back that up. In the Wisdom of Solomon, chapter 10, verse 13 and 14. When a righteous man was sold, wisdom did not desert him. You know, in the Old Testament, wisdom was likened to the Holy Spirit. Wisdom did not desert him, but delivered him from sin. She descended with him into the dungeon. And when he was in prison, she did not leave him until she brought him the scepter of a kingdom and authority over his masters. That was talking about Joseph. The Holy Spirit was with him in that pit, in that prison. So the Holy Spirit in the New Testament and the Old Testament, they use wisdom to kind of liken the Holy Spirit to wisdom. But in the New Testament, he will come and he will partner with you. He'll fall in the ditch with you. And now you are not in the situation alone. He and you together. He begins to comfort. He begins to love you. And then what happens? The second anti, you know what anti means? Antichrist, you could say. So somebody who's a menace, somebody who's against. What is he going to do? He's going to be so angry at what the devil is doing to you. He's going to be so angry at what the enemy is doing to you. And so what he does, the third thing, Lambano, he will grab hold of, he will seize all that the enemy has put on you, and he will deliver you and set you free. I've got a scripture verse for that about David when he's making his last Thanksgiving prayer in 2 Samuel 22. The Lord thundered from heaven, the Most High uttered his voice. Smoke went out from his nostrils. He's angry and devouring fire from his mouth. He's upset. And then in verse 17, he reached down from high. He took me. He drew me out of the mighty waters and delivered me from my strong enemy. So you see that? Anti and Lambano. So this son, Anti Lambano, he will partner with you. He'll be angry with them and he'll grab you and he'll seize you to himself and he will set you free. And all this help is described in that small little word, H-E-L-P. But you will see the Greek word, it is deep. Amen. I remember this young girl whom I met in the Gulf, and she comes and she says, you know, Hazel, I'm in a real mess. And what was the mess? Her father was accused of sexual molestation. And now in the Gulf, if a girl accuses a man of sexual molestation, it is like life imprisonment or it is death penalty. And she said that he was a manager of some hotel. He closed up, the prostitute joined. So the prostitutes decided to take their revenge and they accused him of this. And she said, I engaged a lawyer. We have the case is over. My father has been found guilty and the sentence is going to be declared in the next hearing. I said, wow, is it? Let's go to my advocate. She said, Hazel, I have no money anymore. I've just finished off all my money paying this advocate. I have no money to pay your advocate. And I said, my advocate is FOC. FOC means free of cost. And she said, who's that? And I said, that's the Holy Spirit. Jesus said, I'm sending you the advocate. It's the Holy Spirit. And she said, come on now, don't spiritualize it. I said, I believe that this advocate will fight the case for your father. I said, can I come to the courtroom? And she says, come. So the following week I went there. I saw this guy, you know, he's all shaved bald and all chains around his hand and around his feet. And I'm the police leading him to the courtroom. And he looked at me, I looked at him, and I'm doing, you know, this. And he's doing this with his chains. I said, no, this. And he's saying, no, this. And the police were staring at me. So I just ran into the courtroom. I just went on my knees with my hands raised. The Arabs were watching. I couldn't care less. I went and I said, Holy Spirit, my advocate, you are going to come into this ditch with me and you're going to fight for me, Anti Lambano. And he was angry. Judge came there and the judge said, I am now going to declare the sentence. The man is found guilty. I said, Holy Spirit, my advocate, where are you? And in my spirit, I see the Holy Spirit walk into the room, whisper something into the advocate's ear, and walk out. And I said, don't go, please. The case is, I mean, you know, wait. But at that minute, that advocate just jumped up and she said, lawyer, a judge, please hold your pen. I want to fight his innocence. He's innocent. And the way she fought on something that the Holy Spirit told her, some evidence, and the judge says, this man is innocent. Arrest the lady who accused him. She's guilty. And he was set free. And I never forget those Arabs came to me and they said, miracle, miracle. There never has been something like this. And I said, Isa Nabi Pavitra Atma, Isa Nabi Pavitra Atma. I didn't know whether they understood, but I went on saying that. That is him, beloved. And that's why it's so important to be intimate with him. I love him. And that's why, you know, I'm just like crazy when it comes to me talking about him. I say, Holy Spirit, let everyone be crazy about you by the end of the talk, you know. And then we go to see. He helps us in our weakness when we do not know how to pray as we ought. Now, that's so deep. That word how and ought, you know, in English, you go, okay, it's just how and ought. But in Greek, the word how has that small little Greek word called thee. It's minute, minuscule. So what is Paul saying? That forget about the big things. We don't know how to pray even the smaller things without accurately, without the help of the Holy Spirit. Is it? So we need him so much. And how? As we ought. You know, ought is that Greek word called day, which means we don't know how to pray as the situation demands, as the circumstances demand, without the help of the Holy Spirit. Now, I'll give you a little example. There was this lady who had come for prayer because it's 10 years, she'd not conceived. And she says, everybody prayed and prayed and prayed that my womb may be touched and conceived. But ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, lead me how to pray for this lady. And the Holy Spirit said, she was sexually molested in childhood. Lead her to be healed of her shame. Wow. Like in my knowledge, my poor little head and my poor little knowledge, I never would have known this. I would have never seen the root cause of the problem, but the Holy Spirit sees it. He has eyes to see deep inside of you. And so we prayed for that to be healed. The next year, she conceived, got a beautiful baby after 10 years. Then there was a little another girl. She was dying of tuberculosis. So we went there to pray a last blessing on her. Holy Spirit, teach us how to pray. Lead us how to pray. Show us how we ought to pray. And the Holy Spirit says, she is being rejected. And so her body is now rejecting her. And later on, this girl shared as to how her mother rejected her. She was molested by this authority in the church. She told her mother, mother refused to believe, beat her up. So imagine the shock that the girl went through, thinking that even my mother has rejected me. But the moment when they got to know the truth, the mother and the daughter hugged, she was healed of the rejection, she was healed of tuberculosis. And that's why we in ministry, all of you in ministry, we need him to teach us how to pray as we ought. As the new circumstances demand. How to pray specifically, how to pray accurately. Because if you're operating on your own knowledge, you will never be able to know the problem. We pray like how we pray for everyone. But the Holy Spirit, he sees it all. What your eyes and my eyes cannot see, he sees it. And that's why Jesus, three times in John 14, 17, John 15, 26, John 16, 13, he says, this is the Spirit of truth. This is the Spirit of truth. This is the Spirit of truth. He was trying to drive into the heart of the disciples that this is the Spirit of truth, not a spirit of deceit. He will never mislead you. He will never guide you, never misguide you. John 16, 13, when the Spirit of truth comes, he will guide you into all truth. Now the word guide, you must say, okay, he'll guide me and all. It's deep, it's hodeka. Hodeka means just not an ordinary guide. It's a tour guide. Now, when you get to Israel, you see this tour guide. I mean, this tour guide is the one who leads you into all the corners of Israel. It's so important. He's an expert. He's a professional. And so he's our tour guide. He's been there out front. He knows the routes. He knows how to go. He knows the destination. We have to just walk behind him as tagalongs, you know. And Romans 8:14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. How does one led? Now, even this led is something very deep in Greek. The word led, see, it could mean two things. It's first an agricultural term, and it also could mean ego. Led in Greek is ego. Ego is also, that's where the English word agonies got from. So I remember once I was in the UK, in the, you know, by the countryside. And when I looked out of the window, I saw this frail little farmer leading one big fat cow to the field. I mean, I'm just telling my friend, one kick from the cow will send the farmer flying. I mean, how is it possible? And she said, no, they are trained from young how to follow as he leads. And so the farmer led the cow, and then he dug a stake, left the cow there and went away. And he came back in the evening and took the farmer out from that spot. Now just imagine, the cow could have just jerked his head and thrown that away and walked away. But he stood in that spot, in that place, to the very end, till the farmer came and took. If we are trained to follow the Holy Spirit, he doesn't tie a rope around our neck, but he attaches himself to our spirit. And when we are sensitive to him, as he leads us, he will speak, don't go here, don't go there. It's not good for you. Be careful. And as we listen to his leadings, he will lead us into, because it said, the Bible says, walk in the spirit. He's walking somewhere. And where is he walking? He's taking us to places, the right places, places which glorify God. And then we need to listen to his whisperings, and we need to be there in that spot. Even in ministry, we want to just look around for a ministry and, you know, according to what we feel like. No, if he's taking you to that spot, stay in that spot till he takes you off and he leads you elsewhere. It's so important. And the other word, agony, ego, agony, you know, we experience a great agony because the head cannot understand what the spirit is trying to say. The head does not want to believe, does not want to understand. We want to do our own thing. And that's why there's a terrible conflict. There's a terrible agony between what the spirit is telling us and what our heart is telling us. But if we listen to him, he will never mislead us because he's a spirit of truth. Remember, I met this young girl and she came to me crying bitterly. And I said, what happened, baby? Why are you crying? She said, Sister Hazel, I was there for one of your retreats when you spoke about the Holy Spirit, but I forgot about it completely. And she went on to tell me as to how she was called for a party in a hotel. And she says, there was a voice telling me, don't go there. Don't go for that party. And I'm just arguing. I've been for so many parties like this. Why not now? And she said, I disobeyed that voice. I went for the party. And when she went there, they spiked her drink. And in the morning, she found herself on the hotel bed, raped. And when she came to me, she was pregnant, that 16-year-old girl. Friends, listen to him. He cares about us. He loves us. Romans 8:4, walk not according to the flesh, but according to the spirit. Because 8:6 says, to set the mind on the flesh is death, but to set the mind on the spirit is life and peace. I remember Derek and all of us once were going for an outreach, and we were running, we were late, we jumped into the train, and suddenly the Holy Spirit said, jump out of the train, don't go. And Derek is asking all of us, don't go, come on, just jump out. And mine was saying, but we're late, jump out. And we all jumped out, and as the train left, we got the news there was a cylinder in that compartment which exploded and people died. Had we not listened, we would have been there in that compartment. So it's so important, friends, to be intimate with him, to listen to him as he talks with us. And that's why Jesus, you know, when he said beautifully in John, he said, the Holy Spirit, John 14, 17, I'll ask the Father and he'll give you another advocate to be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth whom the world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. But you know him because he abides with you and he will be in you. He will be in you. What a statement. What a dramatic change was to happen in human history. When God was not just happy with visiting with you or touching you powerfully, but he wanted to take residence inside of you. He wanted to make this body a temple where he would find his resting place. So your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. Friends, just imagine, he's living inside of me. My body is the temple. You think he's going to sit quiet there? No, he's going to decorate this temple with the gifts and the fruits of the Holy Spirit. 1 Corinthians 6:19, your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit. And that's why Paul says in Ephesians 4:30, do not grieve him. Do not grieve the Holy Spirit. Now in English, you would say grieve means probably I do not have to make him sad. But in Greek, if you read, it's called lupente. It's translated lupente. Now, lupente is the same word used to describe the feeling of a husband or a wife when she catches her spouse being unfaithful to her or committing adultery. The shock, the agony, the pain, the hurt that the husband and wife experience is called lupente, and the same word lupente is used here when it talks about how we grieve the Holy Spirit. You know, once this girl, she came to me and she was like her hair and all in a mess. She came running from wherever her house was. She came and she just tore my dress apart and she just pulled her hair and my hair. Said, what happened? Saying, my husband committed adultery. You see the shock, you see the pain, you see how devastating it was for her, how she was grieving. And can you imagine that same emotion the Holy Spirit goes through when we grieve him? When we talk like the world, when we walk like the world, when we do things like the world. Imagine when you're watching pornography, you're dragging him with you because he is in you. When you're in an adulterous relationship, you're dragging him with you because he is in you. He's hurt. He grieves. He cries because his relationship with you is so precious. He loves you. He wants to share with you his whole life. He wants to share. He wants you to share with him your whole life. Somebody says, but he abides with me no matter what. Yes, he's in you. He's with you. But are you with him? That's the question. And so, my friends, we don't have to grieve him because James 4 says he yearns jealously for you. He yearns. He's jealous about you. And if he sees that your focus is elsewhere, your devotion is elsewhere, even if you're emotionally attached elsewhere, he grieves. If you're sitting and watching the TV, he's standing beside you grieving, saying, daughter, son, won't you talk with me for some time? Why don't you put the remote control down and pick the Bible in your hand? He grieves, friend. He's so tender. He's so sensitive. And that's why when Jesus was baptized in the River Jordan, what happened? The Holy Spirit descended on him. The Holy Spirit descended on him like a dove. And the dove remained on him. It remained on him for 3 years. It remained on him. That's why Jesus could work such miracles, because he was totally dependent on the Holy Spirit. And if he was dependent on the Holy Spirit, you think you and I can do without the Holy Spirit? Can you imagine if the dove descends on me and he's on my shoulder? He doesn't look like a dove, actually, a swan, but it's okay, couldn't find the dove. So if the dove descends on me, very sensitive bird, I want this dove to remain in me. I want him. So how am I going to conduct my life? How am I going to walk? I'm going to walk with this dove. Every step that I take, I'm going to walk with him in mind. I'm going to be very careful as to how I speak, because if I'm harsh, he will leave. So how should your spiritual walk be, friends, if you want this dove to remain in you? How you walk, how you talk, how you conduct yourself is so important, because he will leave. He's so sensitive. And Jesus, imagine he's there being baptized in that river Jordan. The heavens are opened. The dove descends. And the Father's voice, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." And Jesus, so filled with that presence, got out of the river Jordan and began to preach and teach, that people were absolutely shocked. What's happened with this man? And really, when I see Peter and Paul in the Acts of the Apostles, like Peter, he shadow healing people. Can you believe that? I can imagine the whole crowd saying, hey, there's somebody sick in your house. There's somebody in your house who's not well. 9 o'clock in the morning, you know, that man Peter is going to pass the side. Bring all the sick on the road. And they brought, and Peter shadow healed them. Why? Because what was overshadowing Peter? It was the Holy Spirit. And so your shadow will release what overshadows you. Paul's kerchiefs, people would take his cloth and, you know, get healed. And I said, Jesus never preached about healing through cloth. Neither did Peter and Paul preach to healing of the cloth. And how did they get this thing? I guess one thing, the woman who was bleeding, she touched the hem of his garment, and she was healed of bleeding. And that must have gone viral. And so all of them said, this Peter and Paul, they could sense the difference in them. They could sense that there was a power and presence in them that was affecting the whole atmosphere around them. And that's why, friends, this makes me so, like, you know, full of unrest. I am just not content at being where I am and what I am doing. Because you and I are called to function at a much higher level than normal Christians. It's not only for priests, it's not only for preachers behind the pulpit of a religious, it's for you, it's for me. Jesus is no respecter of persons, because you and I also have received the Holy Spirit in the sacrament of baptism, in the sacrament of confirmation. We are vessels of that power. We carry that power, but somehow we have forgotten. And so this Pentecost is a reminder for us to release the power that we received at the time of our sacraments. Like St. Francis of Assisi would say, preach all the time, speak only when necessary. I couldn't understand what he was saying, but now I knew, because he would walk down the streets of Italy. He was so saturated with that power. He was so overwhelmed with the presence of the Holy Spirit that as he walked the streets of Italy, people would cry out in repentance. There was no need of speaking, friends. And that is what we lack today. That is what we need today, because if you want to make a difference in the environment around you, you need to be saturated with that presence. And I tell you, it can happen, friends. One day I was shopping, and I take him with me wherever I go. You keep cheap bargains, okay? So I went to this one particular shop, and the sales girl from that shop comes running to meet me. And I'm like, who she is? Maybe she knows I preach, or what, I don't know, but she was a Muslim girl. And so she looked at me and said, can I speak with you? And I said, okay. And then I heard him saying, the Holy Spirit saying, you keep quiet, I have sent her. Sometimes we want to take the glory. Oh yes, she wants to speak with me. And he says, you're zero, I'm the hero. I sent her for you to talk. I'll use your mouth now. And then she began sharing with me as to how she's a Muslim and how she became a widow at the age of 12, you know, child marriage. And then later on, of course, she got married to somebody. I said, but now what's your problem? And she says, you know, my husband is in Saudi. He's going to come anytime now. And he says, by 1 year, if you don't get pregnant, talak, divorce. So I said, you know him, Isa Nabi? She said, oh yeah, he's a prophet. I said, no, he's God. And she says, you all talk to him? I said, yes. I said, you two can talk to him. She says, we don't talk to our God. I said, remember, Isa Nabi died on the cross even for the Muslims. So even you are entitled to the privilege of a Christian. She said, what do I tell him? I said, tell him what you told me. Go to some cross somewhere, wherever you find a crucifix, and just talk to him there. And I left the place. And the next day, I deliberately went to that place to see what had happened. And she saw me, and she came rushing, and she said, you know, Do you Christians talk to your God and your God talks back to you? I said, why are you telling me that? So she says, I said, we Christians talk to God. We keep talking, and we try to listen. We can't hear. She said, no, don't say that. I went to the cross yesterday and I said, Isa, love me. And I told him, and suddenly he opened his eyes and he says, daughter, come. I said, wow. I said, you're a privileged one. She said, really? You all don't hear? I said, no. And then she said, I said, what did you do? She said, I ran to my house and I went off to sleep. I'm still shaking with fear. I said, now go back again. You're a privileged one. And when he says, daughter, come, say, yes, Lord, speak. Your servant listens. And she said, okay, I'll do that. But after that, I never met her. But a year later, as I was walking down the road, I could hear somebody shouting, Didi, Didi. When I looked back, I could only see a lady with a burqa. And I said, who's calling? And then she came running to me. She lifted her parda up and she said, I am that sales girl, Didi. I am that sales girl. Guess what? She had twins in her hand. She says, can you imagine? I asked Isa Nabi to give me one. He gave me two. And she said, you know, Didi, this burqa is just for my in-laws, but inside I worship only him. Amen. When you are saturated with his presence, friends, I'm telling you, I asked her, I said, why did you come to meet me? She said, I was drawn like a magnet, she said. Probably the Lord at that minute anointed me. I don't know. I'm not worthy. But she said, I was drawn like a magnet. The Holy Spirit will drag people to you so that you could evangelize and you could convert a soul. And that's why, friends, you know, if it could happen to Peter and Paul, it is possible for you and for me to be filled with the presence of God, the Holy Spirit, in such a way that you impact everything around you. Paul and Peter, they raised the dead because the Holy Spirit was on them. So, you know, we are the resource center of unlimited heavenly power. So be so consumed by the power like Paul that even the snake could not attach himself to his wrist. So you be so consumed by that power that no virus can attach itself to you. Because the power of your gospel in your mouth is more powerful than all the viruses around you. Amen? Friends, yes, there's power in him. Powerful God. But I have always experienced him as a tender, loving God. As a widow for so many years, how do you think I have walked this life with real victory? It's because more than 30 years ago, his hand has been in my hand. And we have been walking this life together. He has never left my hand. Probably I've been unfaithful, but he has never left. He's held it so tight. I can go all night sharing miracles with you. But I'm telling you, he's so tender. One day when I came home from preaching, from work, I was so, so tired. And I said, Holy Spirit, please help me because my son had high fever. And the doctor just came and said, Hazel, don't sleep tonight. Watch out. He should not get convulsions. The fever shouldn't go high. And I said, yes, doctor. But the Holy Spirit, please, Holy Spirit, keep me awake because I'm just going to doze off anytime. Please keep me awake. I have to watch him all night. And the next thing I know, it's 6 o'clock in the morning and I opened my eyes. And when I opened my eyes, I screamed. I said, Holy Spirit, I told you to keep me awake. Now look what has happened. I went and I touched my son, no fever. And the Holy Spirit said, look at the cloth. It was wet, as though somebody had just put the cloth. And he said, daughter, you were tired. That's why I put you to sleep. But I was awake the whole night. Amen. He's beautiful. He's compassionate. He's loving. To share one more incident with you, one more testimony. I was having a great financial problem. The building that I was living in, they wanted to renovate the building. And they were asking each of us to give 25,000 rupees. I had no money to give 25,000. And I said, Holy Spirit, please help me. Look at it. Call him in that ditch. Call him in that mess. And three summons. I said, Holy Spirit, you're delaying. Three summons. I went to work the next day. There was great joy in the office. And I said, why are you so glad all of you? Because half the time I would be bunking. I would not know what's going on in the office. And they said, you know, today we are receiving arrears. We have won the case, salary hike. We are receiving arrears. So all of us are going to get checks. And right enough that day, the checks came. And each one got 5,000, 6,000, all of that. My manager got 15,000. When the check came to me, it was 25,000. And all the staff at my check and said, hey, this is a mistake. We have got only 5,000. How come you got 25? They were saying that they should be getting 25,000. I said, I don't know. I just got a check. You can do what you want. They went to my boss and they said, how did she get 25,000 and we get 5,000? My boss said, I'm a boss and I've got just 15,000. But I said, look, your staff, I want to tell you something. I know this lady and I know the God she worships. I have seen the miracles in her life. And I just believe. See, can you imagine the computer making a mistake when her name kept, when the computer came to her name, it had to be 5,000, but her God put that 2 before that. And I am not going to fight with the God that she worships. If you want, you can fight, but I am not going to fight. And I would advise you, you go back to your seats, don't fight. I told my boss, I said, I don't want to receive anything that I don't deserve. And he said, tell me something. Did you require this money? And I told him what exactly happened. And he said, there you go. Take the money. I'm your boss. I command you, take the money. It's yours. This is how he helped me. And I could give you stories of any financial help that he's given me. He will help you. Whatever mess you are, remember that. Help, Holy Spirit. Help. Don't extend your hand anywhere. Only to him. He will come. He's a person. He's not a dove. He's not fire. He's not a cloud. He's not water. He's not river. He's a person. He's got emotions. He's got will. He's the Spirit of Jesus, God the Holy Spirit. Amen and amen.